We're back with another episode.
The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed during the Face Off with Fleming and Fowler podcast series are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent any specific employer, organization, committee, or other group or individual. The primary purpose of this podcast series is to educate and inform. This podcast series does not constitute medical or other professional advice or services.
It's the Face Off. It's the Face Off. Spread love, spread light, and don't forget to laugh your face off. It's the Face Off. It's the Face Off. Spread love, spread light, and don't forget to laugh your face off.
You don't come here for the facts. You come here for the entertainment, okay?
That's if you're here for the facts, you're the wrong
place. Wrong podcast. We are here to entertain you. That's why we give a disclaimer at the beginning of our podcast.
Boom, baby.
We're here to educate and inform with entertainment.
Yeah.
That is it.
You think you can stand up for 8 hours without sitting? You would just stand the entire time?
Yeah, because I used to work in retail. You know, you started the thing, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Because I used to work in retail.
That is insane to me that you think you can stand that long without sitting.
How long do you think you can stand?
Like 30 minutes.
We have been in a room for 45 minutes to an hour doing an eval, and you've been on your feet the entire time.
I don't know, man. That's just a lot of standing. But as soon as someone tells me I can't stand, that's all I'm going to want to do.
I don't know why your brain works like that. That's horrible.
All right.
Exactly.
You ready?
Yes, I am.
Can you just see all of my computer screen and my glasses right now?
Not really. Why are you looking at porn?
Yeah.
Oh, that's fun.
Okay. Let's try that. I put it on mute, so hopefully you don't hear it.
Oh, good. Good for you.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Face Off with Fleming and Fowler. I'm Fleming.
I am Fowler. Welcome back, y'all.
Gotcha. How are you? It's been forever. It's been so long.
I know, right? Well, we had a bit of a technical difficulties last week. I think a lot of people probably did because of the freeze and temperatures got really low here in San Antonio. It got down to 15 degrees. Ooh. And it was, I definitely had to turn my heater on, which I was not excited about that, but
on.
I know it's very rare that I do that, but I was cold as hell. But other than that, my week was actually really, really good. I got some things done around my house, got some repairs done before the freeze, thank God. I want to shout out the company, actually, that came and fixed my house and did an absolutely amazing job. Their name is called Mr. Beast Electrical and Remodeling, and they are located in San Antonio, Texas. So if y'all live in the San Antonio, Texas area, or even I think they go as far as Austin, I believe. I don't want to put that in their mouth, but I think they go as far as Austin as well, too. But if you all are in the San Antonio area, these are three men, absolutely amazing. They're certified electricians, as well as they are certified carpenters as well. Contractors. He's a general contractor. They can do everything from plumbing to electrical to sheetrock to foundation work. They literally can build you a whole damn house. It's ridiculous. And they work fast. I literally called them on a Saturday. They came on Wednesday to assess everything. Thursday, the contract was signed. Deposit was paid. Friday, they started the work. Saturday, they finished.
Wow.
Yeah. Absolutely amazing.
Well, I'm glad.
And I'm talking about painted, textured the wall. Say again.
I'm glad all your stuff is finished.
Yeah, definitely. Me too. They did an amazing job. You can't even tell that my house had any kind of, issues or was missing anything. So I'm just grateful for them. They were very patient with especially the deliveries that were happening with regard to this freeze and everything. But all is well. Thank God. God is good. How was your week this past week?
It's been a week, bitch. It's been a week. I'll tell you that.
Oh, goodness. Whatever you're doing, stop moving your phone.
I got antsy. Okay, hold on. I'm skipping. I'll cut this out. I'm going to see if this helps the light.
Yeah, because you're messing with your internet. Your internet's not that great. No, it's your internet. It's not the light. It's your internet.
I know, but I just had two bars. What happened to them? Hold on. Let me see if I can get it back.
I mean, I can see you now and I can hear you.
Okay. I won't move it.
Yeah, don't touch anything. Stop going on the internet.
Okay.
How was your week this past week?
Okay. Let me tell you a story. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. I went to Montana for my friend's birthday. We said, where do you want to go for your 30th birthday? She said, Yellowstone. We said, strange choice, but we'll do it because we're all good. Sounds interesting. Mm-hmm. I just need to know why, when I want to go somewhere that's cold, Mother Nature decides to throw me a fucking curveball and send this goddamn winter Arctic storm to end all... It's like, I thought we were global warming. No, bitch, it's fucking freezing. What's happening? No idea what's going on.
You clearly weren't paying attention to the news, because I don't know. I saw your Instagram story and I was like, why the fuck is this bitch going to the coldest place, Montana, during a goddamn Arctic freeze? Well, did you get stuck there?
I didn't do it on purpose. And the weather...
I think you did.
The weekend before and the weekend after, the weather's supposed to be beautiful, like 30 degrees and perfect. It was just while we were there, it was going to be negative 30, negative 25. Yeah.
Exactly.
Have you ever been in negative weather, negative degrees?
No, don't want to.
It is awful. Like, you walk outside, my nose hairs were frozen. I could feel the cold air in my lungs. My fingers were cramping up, like I had arthritis really bad. But the worstest part, it was the travel, because all the planes were getting delayed out of Texas. And so I flew Houston to Dallas, and I was going to fly Dallas to Montana. I got delayed. My Houston to Dallas flight, bitch, that flight's like 30 minutes. It's nothing. That shit got delayed 3 times. Okay. I was supposed to meet my friend in Dallas to fly out to Montana. I land. She texts me and she's like, hey, I'm on the plane. We're about to take off. I missed it by this much. I was already annoyed.
Oh, wow.
I proceed to get stuck in the Dallas airport for another like 5 hours. I got delayed 3 times just sitting in the airport. I finally get on a plane. My ass is on a seat in the plane. I get delayed twice, 2 more times. I get the little pop-up notification, bing, you're delayed, bing, delayed, while my ass is in the plane. I was pissed.
That's horrible.
And on top of everything,
Oh my God.
I wouldn't say I was sick, like COVID flu sick, but Thursday, I flew out on a Friday morning. Thursday, I got to work and I was not feeling good. Like, body chills a little bit, like just kind of feeling really allergy-y. So then by the time all those delays happened Friday, all that shit, I was like, if I get delayed one more time, I'm going the fuck home. I'm not doing this shit. But God wanted me to make it to Montana. God got me on the plane. He got me there 6 hours later than I thought, but he got me there safely. Amen. Go to Montana.
Amen. This is why I will never travel with you, because
I'm bad fucking luck. So we get to Montana. We have a time in what I now think is the whitest place in America. And it was beautiful. It was fucking freezing cold. Had a great time. Got to just do all the snow stuff. Great. I start freaking out because I get a message. I flew American there. I flew Southwest back. I got a message from Southwest. They were like, bitch, you're not even delayed. We're just canceling your flight because we know that shit's not going to make it back. You can fly out the next day. I was like, mind you, all of the other people with me are flying to Texas and none of their shit got canceled. So I was like,
That's crazy.
I know. The Lord wanted me to stay in Montana. And I was just, you know how sometimes, well, I don't know about you, but me, sometimes I'm like, you know what? I'm going to let the fucking cards fall where they may. I'm going to roll with it. It's weather. Like, I can't change anything. For some reason, I got a wild hair in my ass. And I was like, nope, I'm going to be able to fly back when I want to fly back. And I'm going to just, I booked 3 separate flights to get back to Texas. and they all either got delayed or got canceled. It was a cluster trying to get back. I ended up getting delayed, 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 delayed. And then by the time I was supposed to get on the flight with Megan, we were flying back, and they come on the intercom. We're sitting at the gate. We've been delayed all fucking day. And they're like, yeah, the plane's here, but the pilot's timed out because he's been flying for too long today. So we can't take off today. You guys have to stay overnight in fucking Montana, and then we'll fly you back in the morning.
Wow.
That was my
Montana. Did y'all sleep at the airport, or did y'all get an Airbnb?
Absolutely not. We got a hotel. Oh, the best part is we had to get a hotel. So Megan and I, it's like 7:30 o'clock in Montana, which is
okay.
Pitch black because it's fucking winter. And this Uber picks us up. He's Jamaican and from Jamaica. How the fuck did you end up in Montana? But we're like, can you stop at a gas station so we can get some bottled water and stuff before we go to the hotel? He's like, yeah, that's fine. So he's driving. He pulls over. We go inside. I guess I had yelled Megan's name or called her while we were in the gas station. So we go up to the front to check out, and the guy that's checking us out was like, there was a girl's wanted picture up here. Her name was Megan. Her skin color was like yours. And I look at Megan, I'm like, am I going to die in this fucking gas station right now? That's not my story. What the fuck? Who says shit like that? And Megan was
people
like,
in Montana.
Yeah. Megan was like, well, it's not us. And I was like, yeah, it's not us. Like, and he was like, whoa, no, I'm just saying. I was like, oh, okay. Great. Got the fuck out
time
of there.
Yeah. Right.
Megan had found us this cute hotel to stay in. So we're on the way to the hotel. And it's kind of like off. It's not far from the airport, but it's kind of like out of the way. And our Uber driver's like, I don't like the look of this. And I was like, what the fuck? He was like, yeah, this is just really kind of out of the way. Are y'all sure you want to stay out here? Bitch.
Wait. Is Montana where the Appalachian Mountains are, where the people be out there screaming your name?
I don't know.
Okay.
But yeah, he pulled up to our fucking hotel and he was like, you guys sure you want to stay here? And I was like, bitch, we have no choice. This is the place. I don't know what to do.
We're not like, now.
Yeah. I was like, well, you hear about two girls from Texas on the news. Just know we meant well and we were very kind. Say good things.
Lord Jesus.
Yeah. All that to say, I did make it back, but it was a very long, very long weekend.
I feel like you keep putting yourself in positions to have to force me to find another co-host, and I'm really not appreciative of that.
I don't do it on purpose. I really was just trying to go there.
I think you are. Every trip that you have gone on in the past 2 years has been eventful, like beyond your control. And I'm just like, if you don't want to do the podcast, just say so. Like, I can go ahead and replace you now.
I don't know about my energy. My spirit just attracts this bullshit. But it
because
does.
you keep speaking it over yourself. You're just like, ooh, I want to be in a scenario where I'm kidnapped. And then the universe is like, kidnap that bitch. That's why it keeps happening to you. You keep calling on it.
You're right. And then every time it kind of maybe a little bit happens, I'm like, oh no, I didn't mean that. That was crazy.
See? Right. That's what I'm saying.
You're right. Well, it was very adventurous. I think I'm grounded for a while. That's a lie. I do have a trip coming up, but it's not too...
You see how you just lied that fast? Wow.
Caught myself.
Barely.
Like to keep it spicy for you. Yeah, it was a fucking time, but it was a good trip. I laughed a lot. I got to be with my friends. And
did y'all go skiing at least?
Absolutely not. Bitch, get real. Be fucking real.
Or was it too cold? It was way too cold.
It was cold and I don't want to hemorrhage. I don't want to hit my head. The way my back locks up and shit. Fuck no.
Well, at least you'll be numb so you won't really feel it a whole lot.
Have you been skiing before?
No, I want to go though.
Let me just... You should go. Everyone should go once in a while. Skiing is a beautiful thing to do. Here's my issues with skiing. Number one, you have to wear so many layers to stay warm. And there's this super uncomfortable, like 15 to 30 minutes where you're waiting in the house, getting in the car, all of these things where you're not in the cold. So you're just in all these layers and you get so hot. And I don't like that. Number two, ski gear, so heavy. You have to trek it up the mountain. Trek it back down the mountain. It's exhausting. Number three, I spend more time on the ground than I do skiing because I'm not a good skier. And it's just fucking, like, exhausting to do. It's an exhausting activity.
Especially when you're out of shape, like me.
Yeah. So I can do, like, one good run. Oh, the fourth thing is the ski lift. That's just fucking hard. I'm bad at it. It doesn't
stop. And people get stuck on there. People get stuck on those.
Okay, we went on a ski lift to go to dinner for this thing, mm-hmm. and it was one that was covered because it goes up really high. Bitch, the mm-hmm. fucking rails wouldn't come down. So we're all riding up this shit, and we were all looking at each other because they're supposed to be automatic, and ours wouldn't come down. It was a little sketchy.
So you had to climb over them?
Well, I had to fucking pull that shit down. Almost slid right out.
Maybe y'all weren't meant to eat at that restaurant.
It was an adventure, I'll tell you that. But we could go... Jeez. I think we could do that. That would be fun.
Yeah, I just got to make sure I put on a shit ton of salampas because I don't want my back to be fucked up when I come back. So
I'm just, yeah, my big worry is hurting myself and not being able mm-hmm. to work or something.
Yeah.
Or Natasha Richardson, remember she hit her head and then she died.
And then it was like some kind of weird video where she supposedly like lifted up off the stretcher going into the ambulance and it was just really weird.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I'm back. I'm alive. I know you
missed. Thank God.
I know.
Thank God. Thank y'all for being so patient with us. Again, the weather was beyond our control. Fowler was out of town. And so internet was a little sketchy on this side of town as well, too. Some people had power outages. Thankfully, I did not. I'm grateful for that. I did get an email from ERCOT that was like, hey, we're asking that y'all conserve. And I was like, I'm not conserving a damn thing.
Scared of them sending that shit. Okay, my job is not to run the grid. That's y'all's job.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm cold. I'm gonna pay for this shit and I wanna make it warm in my house.
Well, part of the problem is that Hot Wheels is so concerned about immigration that he's not concerned about fixing this damn grid and actually sharing with our neighbors, okay, other neighboring states in order to make sure that the residents and the citizens of Texas actually have power. And so that's part of the problem. Mm-hmm. You're never going to convince me to conserve my power when you don't ask a mall, you don't ask HEB, you don't ask these hospitals. Hospitals are some of the most wasteful companies in the world. They will have a bathroom light on for 24 hours. Nobody's in the goddamn bathroom. They don't give a fuck. So I'm not going to give a fuck either.
I pay my taxes.
You don't have no choice. You can't not pay your taxes. I mean, at this point, like, it's insane. I'll tell you what else is going on with regard to being insane and paying back. Did you hear this story about this North Carolina school district where over 200 teachers have to pay back a bonus that was mistakenly given to them?
You got me all the way messed up if you think I'm giving back money that you put into my account.
Hell yeah. It's 225 teachers in North Carolina must pay back more than $280,000 after they accidentally received bonuses. And apparently each paycheck was a bonus of like $1,250. And the school board basically said it's the Charlotte-Mecklenburg school system or school board. And they basically apologized and said that we will have an option of repaying the bonus in a lump sum or over 3 months payment or whatever in February. And they noticed the error like 3 days later. And I'm just like, those teachers deserve a damn bonus anyway. Just give the damn teachers a bonus.
Whose fuck up was that? That's what I want to know. You're in trouble.
First of all, so you got the Carolina Panthers, right? Carolina Panthers are in North Carolina. Y'all got a whole football team. One player from that damn team could give y'all $228,000. To combat that and let them teachers have that $1,200. Like, come to hell. You give me a bonus, I ain't giving you shit back. Fuck you.
How? I'm just like, do I have to pay that back? Do they have to pay that back?
They're going to take it out of your check either way.
That's so shitty. Also, when you're a teacher, $1,200 is so much money. Like,
it really is.
That would help out so many people. That's so shitty.
Yeah, for real.
If I had $1,200 in my account extra, I'm like, would I just take all the money out of my account and just hold it?
No, at least it'll give you a little cushion. So even if you like, let's say you needed to take a day off and you don't have no PTO, mm-hmm. you can at least say, okay, for this day, I could pay myself this day from this particular bonus or whatever. But that's just fucked up. Like that's your fault. And I know, and first of all, if you had money in your account to make a $228,000 error, mm-hmm. that's on you. You got it. You the school district.
That's what I'm saying.
I wouldn't pay that shit back.
Well, maybe not for $1,200, but I wouldn't want to give it back.
No, that's not fair.
I would have already booked a flight.
Yes. Well, we know you would. I would have just threw it in my escrow.
You're responsible, and I appreciate that about you.
No, the only reason why I'm responsible is because I've had many years of irresponsibility. That's part of the problem. So I have to be now. I'm almost 40. There's no more excuses. But I tell you what else is no more excuse. The Golden Globes and the Emmys. Did you watch it?
Okay. Thank you for bringing this up. I have so many thoughts. What the
fuck
was the Golden Globes this year?
It was a bit weird, to say the least.
It was, so I didn't like Joe Coy's jokes at all. It was giving,
he was horrible.
Who's that white, fat, I'm sorry, the chunky white girl that's not, Amy Schumer. Remember when Amy Schumer?
Yes.
Okay, and everyone was like, what are these jokes? That's what it felt like, and yeah. Every vibe of the whole room was, I don't know what happened. I don't know if, like, while they were walking the carpet, someone started a rumor about something, or someone pushed someone, and that the vibe was just off. It felt fucking weird, and I just feel like everyone had these, like, fake smiles plastered on. It was just, the vibe was off. I did love the little Selena Gomez, Taylor Swift moment. She was, like, running over to gossip in her ear about whatever happened with Timothy and Kylie. But, yeah, I wasn't a fan of the Golden Globes. Now, the Emmys, love.
Yeah, I feel like I'm a huge fan of Joe Coy, and I was so disappointed in his monologue, his whole entire hosting thing. And I remember we talked off camera. I would have preferred Anthony Anderson and his mom to have hosted both of those because they did an amazing job. But Joe Coy, I was very disappointed. And it was almost as if, like you said, something happened behind the scenes that really just threw him off because he couldn't recover. And then it was like he was having an attitude the whole entire night because his jokes weren't landing. And I'm like, where is Ricky Gervais? Like,
yeah, and then he blamed his writers, and he was like, "Oh, in the room, like, sir, isn't it your job to read the room? Isn't it your job to make the jokes and write the jokes?"
Exactly. Like, I feel like as comedians, yeah, you have a set, but I feel like real true comedians, and I'm not saying that he's not one because I do believe that he's a real true comedian, but I just feel like there's a lot of comedians that are out there who can fly off the handle without having their entire set there. Like, especially when you're doing crowd work, like, that's where your most creativity comes from. I mean, I've been to multiple comedy shows where, again, you can tell they have a set, and then to fill up time, if they run out or if they go too fast and they're not pacing themselves, then of course they start doing crowd work, and it's just straight off the top of the dome. And I just feel like he was not able to recover, and I was very disappointed, but because he's a funny guy, all his stand-ups are absolutely amazing. And so
were the low-hanging fruit, if that makes sense.
Okay,
you're gonna make fun of Oppenheimer and Bart, like, give me something to laugh at.
Yeah,
and Chelsea Handler just hosted maybe Critics Choice, is that what it was? Mm-hmm. And I'm hit or miss on Chelsea Handler. I feel like sometimes she's not giving what I think she thinks she is, but I thought she did a good job because she kind of made fun of herself, made fun of the people there, and it was like her jokes were like just enough, like she didn't say just some fucked up shit to be like contrary or out there. I don't know, I'm just now I'm like off of Joe Coy for a second.
That was the first time I've ever seen Joe Coy bomb. Like, that was the first time I've ever seen him do horrible, and I was very taken aback by that. But again, he's not perfect. Everybody has an off day. Unfortunately, his happened to be on a nationally syndicated, you know, award show that's going to live in the minds of people forever. But I do appreciate the fact that Quinta Brunson won her Emmy for Best Leading Actress in a Comedy Series. But I also want to say that I think it's sad that she's only the second Black woman that has won that award in its entirety. And literally, it had been 40 years since another one had won. And I'm like,
that stat blew my mind.
It's insane. I'm just like, do you know how many funny Black women that we have around here? But it's also, too, going back to the whole lead actress thing, and there's always usually one one lead actress or one black lead actress versus some of these other movies have multiple. And it's just like, black women are fucking hilarious. Like, what are we doing here?
I will say, not perfect, but this award circuit did feel more colored than it has in the past, and more inclusive than it has in the past. I feel like it wasn't just the same old whitewash shit.
Yeah.
I also love The Bear, and I love Io, so I love that she won everything.
I've never seen The Bear.
Watch the, if I can tell you to watch anything, it's watch The Bear.
What is it? What's what station or thing is it on? Network is it on? Hulu? Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's so good, and she's so good in that show.
So she won for Best Supporting Actress.
Right.
Both Golden Globes and an Emmy. And then, of course, Niecy Nash won her Golden Globe, and she won an Emmy for her performance in The Dahmer Story. She played the neighbor who had been calling the police. Again, listen to black women.
Amen.
And he offered her the sandwich. But Niecy Nash, to me, can really do anything. I've been a big fan of Niecy Nash since Reno 911. like, she is so multifaceted, it's ridiculous. But also, too, she used to have an HGTV show.
Really?
Called Clean House. Do you remember Clean House? And she's saying the little thing. She's like, anybody want a clean house? That show was good. It was a really good show.
She's great.
But yeah, she was amazing. And in that Dahmer story, like, I only wanted to see her parts because the man was creepy anyway. But she's a great dramatic actress.
Yeah. You need to watch The Bear.
Yeah.
When I loved at the Emmys how they kept bringing all the cast from the old, like, sitcoms and TV shows up.
Yeah.
Martin, they did the Ally McBeal bathroom dance montage. But when they brought out the cast of Grey's Anatomy, why did my eyes get teary? It was like a reunion for me. Like, I know them.
Yeah, but I was a bit disappointed that they didn't have more people, especially they had Ellen Pompeo and Chandra Rilson and... That's what I'm saying. I was like, where was Sandra Oh? Like, where was O'Malley? Come on, goddamn. And then for Katherine Heigl to get her ass up there, I was like, ma'am.
That part.
It was awkward, though. It really was. It looked awkward.
Well, and, okay, if Katherine Heigl would have just gone up there and, like, said her little piece and been done. But she was, like, kind of putting on a show when she was up there. And
yeah.
I was, ma'am, didn't you take your name out of the Emmy running for this show specifically? Because you said the show ain't shit and the Emmys ain't shit either.
And allegedly shitted on Shonda Rhimes.
Yeah. And every show you've done since then has been shit because you are so horrible to work with. But she was just up there on Richard's arm in her red dress.
Yeah. James Pickens? Like that. I feel like her character as Izzy was amazing. And I felt like she did an amazing job at that role. And for her to take her name out of the hat, claiming that she felt like her performance wasn't Emmy worthy. Like, who cares if you didn't feel like it?
Yeah.
Just let your ass be nominated and then fucking lose. And then you will still feel okay. Like, I don't understand why you had to do all that.
After you had just won the Emmy for that role on that show the year before.
That's what I'm saying. I'm just like, I don't know what your stance was on that, but this is why she gave you cancer and no one knows where you are now. Like, what the fuck?
Never seen white privilege rejected for such a wrong reason.
Yeah, seriously.
It was very strange.
And I'm just like, if you wanted to reject the Emmy because you were standing in solidarity with your minority brothers and sisters or whatever, or sisters, then that would have been understandable. But you literally, this was a selfish moment for you, and you ended up getting written your ass the fuck off that show, and now they're in their 20th season. So people have been speculating that she's coming back at some point. I hope she doesn't, because I'm like, what storyline would you have? Alex is now gone, and y'all are supposedly raising some damn kids or some shit. So it's just, just don't come back.
Imagine getting nominated for an award at work, like for the work you've done, and you saying, actually, all my coworkers are pieces of shit, and I don't feel like our work was up to par, so I don't want this award.
Yeah.
That's shit. She's crazy.
Yeah, I just don't, I mean, I don't, white privilege is a dangerous thing. I'm not sure if we talked about this or not, but from last episode, with regard to Angela Bassett actually winning being given an honorary Oscar this year. I'm not sure if we talked about that or not.
No, but
I have mixed emotions about people being given honorary Oscars who actually should have already won
said
awards. No, she was nominated. She was robbed of the Oscar for What's Love Got to Do with It. And I feel like she should have won the Oscar, honestly, for, I have mixed emotions about it. I don't feel like her performance in Black Panther, to me, was Oscar worthy. It was an amazing performance, but I feel like there are other movies that she has done that were Oscar worthy, and I felt like they were just throwing her name in the hat.
Sometimes they do that shit where they're like, we respect you and all you've done, and we know you should have gotten more, but you couldn't, so let's give you something now.
To me, I felt like they were dangling that carrot in her face and just threw her name in that hat, knowing good and well that they were not going to give it to her. Because even for Cicely Tyson, they ended up giving Cicely Tyson an honorary Oscar. I think it was a year or two before she died, and she was in her 90s. And I'm like, she should have been won an Oscar for a lot of her performances. And I mean, I'm glad that she got it, but I really wish that they would have gave her the award, rightly so, for the movies that she actually earned for that. Because she, I mean, her, I would say 10 out of 10 performances for Angela Bassett are always Oscar worthy. She does not miss.
Yeah.
So
she did great in Black Panther, but that's not like the Angela Bassett performance.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, to me, you'll never, like, even Erica Alexander, who played Maxine Shaw on Living Single, and she also played Cousin Pam on The Cosby Show. She was doing an interview on The Breakfast Club, and she was talking about, because she was nominated for an Emmy for the movie American Fiction with Tracy Ellis Ross, and I can't remember the main lead guy, but anyway, she was the producer and the writer of that movie. And so she was nominated for an Emmy, and she was talking to Charlamagne about how the Emmys are the, you know, winning awards is important, and it's important because they pull a dollar amount on it. Like, when you can say Oscar nominated or Emmy nominated or Emmy winning or Oscar winning, you know, performance, then your salary automatically has to be entered into a certain bracket, and they can't try to lowball you. And then she was talking about how Lou Gossett Jr. actually won an Oscar, and how he said that it was actually probably the worst thing for his career because they still tried to lowball him, even though he was an Oscar winner. And, you know, she was talking about even people like, you know, Felicia Rashad, the fact that this woman never won an Emmy for her role as Claire Huxtable is insane to me. But then you got the lady from, I can't even remember her name, from Everybody Loves Raymond, the fact that she won, I think, like 6 times or something like that. And I'm like, come on, bitch, you're not America's mom. What the fuck? Like, goddamn. I'm not saying you don't deserve awards, but I'm just saying 6 times over Claire Huxtable, you done lost your goddamn mind. Lost your damn mind.
Didn't realize, I guess, too, and I'm more the Oscars than anything, but the kind of, like, campaigning that goes into winning those roles. Mm-hmm. How you have to have someone basically backing you and paying for you and, like, mm-hmm. get a movie or show out there and... that's a lot. I don't know.
Well, even that you talk about that, a lot of people were expecting, I think, Fantasia to win an Emmy, but I'm just like, here's the thing, for The Color Purple.
Oh, is that this year or next year?
No, that's this year. She got nominated this year for the Golden Globe. But the thing is, I was just like, that movie just came out in December, and the Golden Globes were like week before last. So I'm like, damn, it was horrible timing. I just, and also too, I feel like the movie was really overshadowed by Taraji P. Henson, and rightfully so to a degree, but I just feel like more people, because they said that the movie, I think the budget was like $100 million and they only made $60 million so far at the box office.
That's which crazy. Is pretty... I thought it was like the number one movie on Christmas Day or something.
Maybe on Christmas Day, because shit ain't else ain't come out. I don't know. But I just feel like for that film, first of all, it shouldn't have been touched. That's number one. And then even Kenya Barris announced that he's going to be redoing The Wiz, and it's going to be... But here's the thing. He said it's gonna be stationed in Compton or some shit. And I'm like, bitch, stop touching original films that don't need to be touched.
I have The Wiz. Harris already.
The thing is, it's just like, The Wizard of Oz, the white version, right? And you make the Wiz. Those two, they complete each other. It's a complete set. It's a set, bitch. It ain't a triple, a trio. Just leave it a fucking alone. The same thing with the Color Purple. People confuse this Color Purple with the actual Alice Walker movie, you know, that was obviously directed by Steven Spielberg. But I'm like, no, this was a movie about the Broadway play, which is why I didn't have a lot of stuff from the actual movie in it. But I just feel like a lot of the stuff that happened with Taraji, and because I feel like this whole press run was so emotional for her because she was fed up. I feel like the movie got the marketing that it needed to have, but the context of what they were talking about overshadowed the actual movie, which is why people didn't want to support it.
It all became Oprah on this carpet, Taraji on this carpet, Taraji doing these interviews. No one's getting paid. Yep. Everyone's speaking out.
Nobody got they didn't even get food for craft services. And it was more so about what was behind the scenes, which was insane because they were saying, well, we called Oprah and the next day everything was fixed. And I'm like, Oprah, you're the producer. And if you all in the videos, all in the shows and everything, as a producer, that should be an automatic that's already there. That shouldn't have happened.
That's what I'm thinking. If I'm Oprah and I know that my name's going to be all over this shit, I want everyone to be like, this was the best that I've ever worked on.
Thank you.
You know what I mean? And I just feel like when you get that big, sometimes you think, well, like, who's going to say shit about me? I'm fucking Oprah.
Well, and then she says, too, she was like, well, I'm not the studio, y'all. Bitch, yes, you are. You're Oprah. Your what the name? Fuck?
You're the name. You are the name.
My thing is, and if you're not the studio, then you shouldn't have been at all these behind the scenes videos and all of these behind the scenes clips, and you shouldn't be on the press tour junket as the producer. And if that's the case, come on, Oprah, you in 2024 or 2023, when y'all had this movie, the fact that somebody had to call you and tell you that these Oscar and Golden Globe Image Award, NAACP Award, you know, winning and nominated actresses did not, Grammy Award winning actresses did not have fucking food? Come on now.
Fucking Oprah, you're a jillionaire. Order the fucking food.
You could have ordered Chick-fil-A. They would have been glad to give it to you for free.
I would love that shit.
I mean,
similar,
I just, yeah.
Okay, but kind of the same. Mm-hmm. The Girls movie that just came out.
Yeah.
I was, as you know, I'm boycotting all these fucking movies about the Broadway musical because I feel like I'm being lied to and they're being marketed to me as not musicals and it's pissing me off. But I've heard good things about it that now I'm interested in.
What good things have you heard about it?
I've heard that it is just good.
Interesting. I'm boycotting a lot of these movies because there is too much, I keep saying, I feel like I say this on every podcast, there is too much original content that is out there that unfortunately the people with the money, right, these media moguls are not willing to take a chance on and take a risk on that will actually probably bring them new revenue. And then you keep doing the same shit over again, thinking that you're going to get a new crowd. Mean Girls was for a subset of people. And a generation. We're beyond that point at this time, okay? And I get it. You may want to appeal to Gen Z or whomever the fuck. I don't know. But you're not going to get us as the original watchers of these movies and shows to then come back in and say, yes, the remake was 1,000 times better than the original. Absolutely. It will never be. So stop touching it. Even going back to Rap Shit. I'm not sure if you watch Rap Shit on HBO Max, but they were recently canceled and will not be renewed for a third season. And this is the show that is produced and written by Issa Rae. And again, you have original content that obviously had good enough ratings to get a second season. And you're just like, yep, we're done. Well, damn, can we get at least a 5-season deal that says,
bring back Lovecraft Country.
This is what I'm saying. Lovecraft Country to me was as big a groundswell as Insecure.
Which is hard with Jonathan Majors, but we could figure that out.
Listen. He is a part of that show. And as many white men that has committed way worse things than hurting somebody's bitch ass finger, they could have overlooked that shit. And he was dying in the last episode anyway. So who knows? I mean, they could have rewrote it. I don't know. But my whole thing is There is so much original content, and these media moguls and the people with the banks keep saying, oh, well, we're just going to keep making the shit that we know is going to sell. It's not going to sell. Now, Barbie was this big phenomenon, but Barbie hadn't been done as an adult movie. Uh-huh. It's only been geared toward children. So the fact that now adults have something brand new to now say, oh my God, I remember I had Barbie's dream house and Barbie's convertible and blah, blah, blah. But I'm just like, why do y'all keep redoing shit? Mean Girls was done, what, 15 years ago? It ain't even a 30-year-old movie yet. Wait till it get 30 years old and then you can try to redo that shit.
Did you watch Barbie?
The movie? No.
Oh, you haven't seen Barbie?
I saw clips of it. Okay, it's too much pink.
Okay, but...
It's too much pink.
Oh my God. Anyway, watch Barbie. Have you seen Saltburn yet?
No.
Let's talk about original content. That movie. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. I just feel like they again, there's so many people out here that have written new things. Even Ava DuVernay and Anjanue Ellis Taylor actually have a new movie out called Cast, C-A-S-T-E. And she was talking, Cast. And she was talking, Ava DuVernay was talking about how, you know, even with these, they were asking her like, oh, you know, you must have a bunch of scripts that are being thrown at you all the time for movies. And she's like, no, I actually don't. Because I make movies that are, number one, original, but also, two, that are geared toward accurate history, especially of Black folks.
Movies make me fucking sad.
But it's the reality. It's history. And so she was saying that a lot of the movies, except for, I think, Wrinkle in Time was the only movie she said that she did where Oprah came to her and asked her if she wanted to direct it. She was like, absolutely.
Make me sad.
Wrinkle in Time?
Yeah.
Why would A Wrinkle in Time make you sad?
I'm just saying, that was the one she did that didn't make me sad.
Oh, well, because, yeah, it was written by somebody else, that's why. But, I mean, I just feel like, again, there are so many talented people that are out here that are writers that, you know, have amazing ideas, and it's just sad that they will never get an opportunity because they keep trying to make Mean Girls 35, and it's like the whole Fast and Furious bullshit. It's like, how fast and how furious can I be?
I like A24 because I feel like they do those smaller indie movies that are usually pretty interesting. But like the big studio, all this crazy shit. You're right. How many Fast and Furious do we fucking need?
It's so formulaic. And I'm like, your formula is not working, which is why at the box office, you might make your money back and that's it. You're not getting any extra because it fucking sucks. Like once you buy your ticket, I don't care if you sit in the theater 20 minutes. Most people are not going to ask for a refund. Even if they walk out, they're just going to be like, man, you can have that little $10, that little $15 or whatever. But it's just stupid. It's really dumb.
Like we're finally out of our Marvel superhero era. Like I feel like there was a good 5 years where those were the only movies we were getting. I feel like 2023 was a wash movie wise. We just got to let it go besides Barbie and Oppenheimer. So I'm very hopeful about 24, 25, that we can get some fresh blood in there.
Well, speaking of fresh blood, we got to talk about politics and how fresh blood, how I'm not looking forward to this new political year. And Ron DeSantis, a little short man. Did you see his shoes? It's really weird. Anyway, he wears heels, allegedly. Look at a picture. He has lifts in his shoes, allegedly. Allegedly.
Okay, I feel like more men than admit to it have lifts in their shoes.
I would agree. And the way his shoes are, he wears like cowboy boots. It's very clear that he's probably like 4'11", allegedly. But suspended his campaign. Huh?
Short men love politics.
Yeah, they really do. They're compensating. But he recently suspended his campaign for the presidential run of the United States, backing Trump, as did, what's his name? The little stupid black dude who looks like the guy, Oba Kaby, which I had the hat on, so I guess I kind of look like him too. Anyway, what's his name? He's a black guy. He's a coon. What's his damn name?
Ben Carson.
He's a coon too, but not him. Not Rick Scott.
Rick Owens. Rick Steve.
Whatever that black dude. The only black dude who wasn't gonna win. But anyway, they're both backing Trump, which I think is insane because I'm just like, for years, y'all have been talking about, oh, Trump's going to jail. He's going to jail. And then y'all are just like, but he's the one that can run our country.
He knew he wasn't gonna get past the fucking...
No. Well, and Nikki Haley, too, with her comments about talking about that the United States is not a racist country. And I'm like, Nimrata. need you to.
The reason you changed your, why don't you go by your fucking name? Why don't
You just proved how racist this country is. The fact that you ran as a Democrat, I mean, as a Republican with the name Nikki and not Nimrata. I need you to go off of your native name, what's on your birth certificate, kind ma'am. Why aren't you running as Nimrata Haley? Inquiring minds want to know.
I am not excited for politics, but I never am excited for politics. But I feel like this is going to be a trying emotionally, spiritually.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And what's funny was, I know I've seen a lot on TikTok how Gen Zers are talking about how they're not going to vote at all. And they're not just going to vote at all. But the thing is, and here's the thing, I don't think that that's a solution. As a millennial, not voting is one of the craziest things that you could possibly do. However, to the defense of Gen Z, I understand where they're coming from, because they would rather not vote for either side versus giving a vote. But when you don't vote, you actually are voting for the most evil side, because those people are going to get out and vote. And so I understand why Gen Z doesn't want to vote, because Biden, especially with this whole, with this genocide that's taking place over in Palestine, he's completely lost the Gen Z vote. Trump never had it, but that's why they're not voting. And not only that, but there was this one content creator who was talking about how she works in retail, and she was saying that when Gen Z comes into her store, they look so much older than they really are. And millennials, we actually look our age. Well, it's like, understand what Gen Z has had to deal with environmentally, socially, financially. Like, these kids have never, unfortunately, had a good leg up.
They never got to be kids.
No, they didn't. They really didn't. And they everything that they do and that they touch is on a microscope and magnified and exacerbated. They don't know what privacy is. They don't know what it is to not tell their business. They don't know what it is to not have their business told. You know, they don't even know what it is to be in an economy where they can at least survive in their own apartment for the very first time.
They also just get exposed to so much more, because you can't hide things from, it's like they see it on the internet or they see it on TV.
Yeah.
I think I was thinking about it the other day, like the types of shows I'm watching now, or just like the types of shows that are available to watch. I was like, I don't think that this caliber of content, like the openness and the explicitness and just the different topics, which, like, for better or for worse, because I feel like different kinds of people are making content now and you can just see different things, which is great. But I was like, I don't think I was exposed to this kind of shit when I was young. And now it's just like everywhere and you can't hide from it. Like, what the fuck?
And I think too, this is why Gen Z, I think statistically, is probably one of the most depressed generations out there, because it's an overexposure. And it's like, you can't blame these kids for being the way that they are to a degree, because unfortunately, the people, millennials, Gen X, Gen Y, boomers, we've created this life for them. And you can't undo it, unfortunately, because we're already in this wheelhouse. So if you just go cold turkey, they're going to lose their shit. But I understand why Gen Z does not want to vote. And then even Michelle Obama, to me, I just felt like she was a bit, she was not speaking in reality as a former first lady. And she was just like, what keeps me up at night is Gen Z not saying that they're going to vote. And it's like, well, what are you doing to help these fucking kids, ma'am?
Okay.
Like,
I love Michelle Obama as much as a person.
Exactly. I do too.
Fucking took those snacks out of school. It's been very hard for me to take anything from her and process it appropriately, because I'm still upset about that. And that's something she should have thought about as first lady, that now she has to deal with. Okay,
she just didn't want you to have diabetes, Fowler. That's
But I don't. But now, like a horrible thing for her to do.
Yeah, no, I get it. Because she wasn't in my schools. We had Blippi Subs and Papa John's and everything. But that's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like these kids have too much unfortunate regulations. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying things don't need to be regulated, but for us, there was a certain level of freedom because, again, we were not under a microscope. Right. Myself and my generation, as an early millennial or a millennial, we were not under a microscope like these kids are. Everything wasn't accessible to us. I mean, again, if you wanted to, YouTube wasn't a thing when I was a kid. YouTube came out when I was in college. And then, yeah. You know, so if you had to figure out how to, you know, fix something in your house, but you actually had to call somebody and pay for that contractor to come to your house. Mm-hmm. Now you can go on YouTube University and find out everything. But I feel like I understand. And I think we as the older generations need to stop bashing Gen Z for them having an opinion. I think our job as having more wisdom than these kids is to help them come with a solution to say, you know what? I understand why you feel the way you feel about not voting. And I appreciate that fire. Let's redirect that fire to now a more formidable solution that helps all of us involved. But the fact that you just keep calling a generation stupid and saying, well, Gen Z is stupid. They don't have no strategy. You know why they don't have no strategy? Because your stupid ass with all your wisdom and supposed experience won't come down to meet them where the fuck they are. You said what?
They're also still kids, but okay.
Thank you. They're kids that have not had somewhat of an opportunity, the same opportunities that we have had. We talked about this, you know, a few episodes ago, where my first apartment that I ever got was only
$325. That is, that's insane to me.
That does, and it wasn't in the hood, baby. I wasn't in the hood. I was in a very safe neighborhood.
A white icebox?
Yes, there was white appliances. However, that wasn't at the time.
The ghetto child, the ghetto. No,
but it was a college town. Now in a college town, that same apartment is probably $1,000 a piece per person. And I'm just, even groceries. Like, I remember my mom used to send me $25 for the month when I first went out to FAMU. And Alyssa, this was in 2002. And that $25 lasted me for the month.
There's no way. Now,
I'm dead serious. Because shit was not expensive like that. A loaf of bread was under $2 at that time.
Oh my gosh.
A gallon of milk was under $3 at that time. That's, you know, crazy. What I'm saying? And so, and things were inflating, obviously. You couldn't buy four bags of chips for a dollar anymore. But, I mean, you know, you got your ramen noodles. And again, I want to say, I didn't have a car at the time. And I didn't have a cell phone at the time. We did have calling cards and all that kind of stuff. Because again, people had cell phones, but it wasn't like that. Like, nobody really cared about cell phones like that. But I just feel like we as the older generation, especially these boomers, because they are part of the reason why the fuck our society is fucked up in this way.
Yep.
Our responsibility as the older generations is to reach back to Gen Z to help redirect that fire that they have in them, because they have the same fire that the kids from the civil rights movement had in the 1960s. Because let's be clear, Martin Luther they were children.
Yeah.
Malcolm X they were children. Let's talk about Fred Hampton. Fred Hampton was 20 fucking one. He was a child. And they were calling for revolution. And so these Gen Zers, you can't look at them as if they're different from Martin Luther or Malcolm X or Fred Hampton or any other person that was in the civil rights movement. They were these kids. I mean, even John Lewis. John Lewis was in college. That boy was 18 years old.
And they also look old. Like, when you look back then, they look old because of all the shit they were dealing with.
Thank you. And that was a time too. Like, most people looked more, you know, looked more older or whatever, looked older. But I just feel like we as the older generation, you're gonna continue to lose Gen Z because number one, you keep being condescending toward them, and you keep calling them stupid and saying what they don't have and calling out all these deficits. But guess whose responsibility it is to close that age gap? The older generation.
I also feel like, do you remember when you were young and voting? I remember in high school, there was such a big emphasis on the anonymity of voting. Like, it was your personal vote. You get to decide. Mm-hmm. No one needs to know. You shouldn't be asking people who they're voting for, what they voted. It's just important that they vote. And I feel like that's like, it's not a thing anymore. It's like, who did you, it's mm-hmm. a big partisan. Who did you vote for? What did you do? Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know.
I think because again, it's the age of overexposure. And I think also too, people are realizing because of the types of, let's be very candid, because of the type of candidates that we have and how society right now is so rampant with regard to discrimination. I mean, that's not to say that it wasn't before, but the fact that you have people showing up to the voting booths with guns, AR-15s and shit like that, because people are equating who you vote for with that's what you must be. Like if you vote for Trump, that means you have to be a racist. Now, I do have conflicting opinions about it. Do I want to discuss it now? Not really, but I do agree to a point. If you are middle class and mm-hmm. you voting for Trump, you got a race problem. Now, if you're a billionaire voting for Trump, I completely understand because he gonna lower your taxes because we all vote in our corporate interests, right? But if you middle class and making $50,000 and you voting for this man, baby, you ain't getting no tax credit. He taking all your money because you're middle class. You understand? But I'm not saying that doesn't mean that you're a racist just because you vote for him. But I'm just saying, I think that's why, because people are like, if you vote for him, you must agree with everything that he's saying. Yeah. And I think it's a double standard because we say that about Trump supporters, but then we as Biden supporters, and I'm not saying you, but I'm saying myself, I'm not a supporter of Biden. I voted for the motherfucker because he's still ain't forgive my loans. Anyway, maybe if he forgive my loans, I support his ass. But anyway, listen. I think those of us who voted for Biden, we don't agree with the shit that he's doing. We didn't agree with the shit he was doing when he was running the campaign and what he's doing now. So it's like, it's a double-edged sword because you can't say that about Trump supporters. And then you say, no, that doesn't apply to me on the Biden side. And it's like, how hypocritical is that, you know?
Yeah, which is crazy because I feel like everyone in the last, 10 years has just voted for what they're not voting for someone, they're voting not for someone else.
Exactly.
And that just makes things so much stickier because then when you mm-hmm. are voting for the other side, you're like, well, that represents this, and that. And they're like, I really don't give a shit about that. I just didn't want, mm-hmm. or, you know.
Exactly. And that's the point that I'm making when it comes to Gen Z. When Gen Z are saying, if a lot of them are saying, or enough of them are saying, I don't want to vote, or I'm not voting, that's the time, again, for the wisdom to come in and not sizzle out the fire, but help redirect it to say, listen, I agree that we should not be having to choose between the lesser of two evils. Right. However, this is where we are. So all I'm saying is one side is against the things that you are for. So even though you're not voting for this person, you're mm-hmm. voting for your interest, because if you don't and this person wins, then you're going to complain, and then you can't complain because you didn't exercise your right, which was already given to you. Not calling these kids, you ain't going to vote. That's stupid. You're fucking stupid. No. Help redirect the children.
I was going to say, where's Diddy? But no, never mind. I was going to say, we got to rock the vote, but we don't.
Listen, he been rocking too much shit. No, ma'am.
Vote.
Allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly. How fucked up it must be to be 18 years old right now. And for the last 10 years, you've just known this like horribly fucked up political landscape. Mm-hmm. And for us to be like, well, typically there's two sides and they mm-hmm. They vary on big issues. But, you know, most mm-hmm. of the middle ground stuff is like that has not happened in fucking years.
Yeah, and you have the. Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, it just has been so long that it's like. So mm-hmm. divided, which is insane.
Yeah. And then you have these kids now where they're seeing war in real time. Yeah. They're seeing genocide in real time. I remember when Rwanda happened, right? And a lot of these other conflicts, you know, outside of the United States occurred. We only just heard about them either through newspaper or on the radio. There wasn't a visual representation of this stuff. You read about it in history books. Right. These kids are following Bisan. They are seeing what Motaz is putting up every single day. They are seeing the carnage of what real choices that the United States makes in real time. So you have to give these children some grace and these young adults some grace to understand that because they're seeing it in real time, and us as a previous generation did not have the same field of vision, that this is why these kids are fired up and saying, absolutely not, because you can't watch carnage like this of seeing babies' heads blown off and men and women's heads blown off. And then talking about, I'm going to vote for Biden who refuses to call for a ceasefire.
Do you think it's going to be a resurgence of what happened like during and after the Vietnam War when all these young people were like, this shit's fucking crazy?
Yes.
We get all these like, yeah, I bet you history is just going to fucking repeat itself.
That's all that. And Alyssa, I had this conversation with my cousin. Shouts out to my cousin, Donna. And this is what I'm saying. No one is paying attention that history is repeating itself. Gen Z saying that they're not going to vote is nothing new. It's Vietnam all over again.
Yeah.
And instead of correcting it so that this shit doesn't happen, here go the old people doing the same shit that their forefathers did. Look at these young people. Bitch.
Yep.
The answer is in your face and you're refusing to do anything about it.
That is, wow. You know what? Woof. I'm so glad I'm not 18. You know what I mean?
I mean, all I can do is speak to the children. That's it.
That's all you can do. But yeah, can you imagine being 18 years old right now, having access to all this information, knowing that you can affect all of this change and all of these people putting these like restrictions on you and telling you, oh, you really can't do shit, even though you know so much more and you are so much more organized and you have the technology to mobilize and do all these things, but you're stupid and actually you can't do anything.
And also too, you got to think about it too. Boomers believed everything that the government put out because that's what your field of view was.
Right.
Gen Z now can again see everything in real time and in color. We try to act like the days of the civil rights movement was so long ago. Okay, my mama and daddy were born in the 1940s. So you can imagine how old they were in the 1960s. They were old enough to understand what was going on. All their pictures are in color. When I look at pictures of my mom when she was in her early 20s, that shit was in color. Why are we putting pictures of Martin Luther King and Malcolm X in black and white like it was so long ago? It's the media. We understand. It perpetuates this idea that it was so long ago. No, the fuck it was not. The white people who were picketing and boycotting and hanging and lynching these black men and women, these kids, are still alive now, receiving Social Security, and some of them are in Congress right now. Some of their grandkids are in Congress. So this idea that, again, these children are seeing this shit in real time and in color. Sorry.
Up. Yes, ma'am.
You can't lie to them and say, that's not true, that's not real. You know why? Because there's someone in Gaza right now that's showing you the real deal Holyfield. You can't lie and say, oh, well, the Hamas is raping all these Israelis. And the Israelis over here talking about, oh, let me turn on my water and turn on my electricity because I have electricity and power. It don't look like you're being attacked right now. What are you talking about? These people don't even have fucking guns.
And you just have so much, you can just, anything anyone says, there's 60 videos against it and 60 videos for, you just have access to, you can see everything and debate anything. And
And it's access overload for these kids. And sometimes they don't know what to believe.
Yeah.
Ugh. So it's more difficult for them. But I think. But I think, again, the reason why Gen Z is saying that they don't want to vote, it all falls back on the older generations from the boomers down. We are responsible, because I'm not a boomer, but the older generation is responsible for closing that age gap and responsible for closing that knowledge gap to help these kids again. The same fire that Martin Luther King had, the same fire that Fred Hampton had, the same fire that Malcolm X had, Rosa Parks, that's in Gen Z right now. But you need to, again, having the older generation to come in and help redirect that fire so that we can get a solution. Exactly. Don't put the fire out. No. Carry it very carefully over to the solution. Don't try to put the fire out. Don't put no water over. Don't cover it. No. I need you to help flame it, but flame it in the right direction. Right. So that way we're productive in everything that we're doing. But that's the problem where people just keep looking at these kids and saying, y'all are stupid. Y'all are dumb. This don't explain to them why it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
But don't try to fizzle out their mentality or why they think or their thoughts. Like, celebrate the thoughts. I understand what you're saying and I feel the same way. However, can we come to, let me help explain to you why this potentially may backfire and let's redirect that energy to this area. That's all we're saying.
Explain how government works, how policy works, how
exactly
change. I don't understand it, but you know.
And explain the consequences. Don't just kill their ideas. Help redirect the ideas to be productive. Because you just calling them stupid is counterproductive.
Yeah.
And then you wonder why they don't get involved. It's so dumb.
Oh, man.
But anyway, so we got a lot to look forward to in the this new election year.
We're really pumped for the upcoming year.
We're excited to give you all the commentary that we can.
Political news podcast.
Absolutely. Anything else we need to talk about before we get out of here?
No. Are you watching anything?
No, girl.
I haven't watched shit.
TikTok.
Honestly, it's the doom scroll. It's not a doom scroll because I'm not in an extremely negative headspace, but it's like a, what do they call it? Fuck, where you like, you had all this shit to do during the day, so you're like reclaiming your time at night by like just scrolling. I forget what they call it.
I know what you're talking about. It's like some kind of like not intentional scrolling, but I know what you're talking about. Yeah,
because I feel like I was so overwhelmed and busy all day, and now I can like sit here, turn my brain off, and just I need to put a limit on myself because I'm like, what the fuck am I watching? You know?
Yeah, there are no more TikTok dances. Everything's real
what
time.
What a time. I heard that song, I know I fucked up, I'm just a loser. Do you remember that song? Like when TikTok, like heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And it just like this overwhelming sense of like, a simpler time. We were all locked down. TikTok dances and like TikTok was all like food videos and shit.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Exotic was free. Man.
It was a time.
So
it was a time.
I haven't been watching any.
Yeah, me neither. I've tried my best to try to, you know, recap on some stuff, but no, with everything that's happened in the past week with regard to the weather and my house and stuff like that, and just work has just been super, super busy. So no, I haven't even turned on my TV at all, probably in the last month.
Well, if you turn it on, you should watch The Bear. It's like my mission to get everyone. It can give you a little anxiety because it's about a kitchen and it's like high emotion, but it's good.
I have to finish First Wives Club first, and I'm almost there. I'm halfway there, so I have to finish because the new season is getting ready to start. And then also, too, The Equalizer is coming back starting next month. My favorite, Queen Latifah, she's coming back, so I'm excited to see what happens. And my goal this year is to watch more TV.
You know what? Yeah, we should do more TV shows. Isn't the fall when all the TV shows start, or?
Well, right. Remember they split it up. It's the fall, and then a lot of these shows take winter breaks, and then they all come back in February. So I think pilot season is the fall and in February.
So we're about to get some new stuff. I love TV. I need to like dip my toe back into it. You know?
Absolutely. Watch more TV, man.
New Year's resolution. Yes.
Support these shows, Rap Shit won't, original content won't get canceled.
I know.
Like they just cancel rap shit, which is crazy.
I know. No.
I only watched one episode and I couldn't get into it. I was like, nah, Stephanie.
The format was weird. I don't know. It wasn't for me, but I can appreciate Issa Rae.
Yeah, I can appreciate Issa Rae. And the thing is, again, when it's not for you, it's not for you. However, you should still be supporting it because there is a audience that's out there that it appeals to. Also, too, Abbott Elementary is coming back on starting, I think it's February 12th.
My life. I love that woman.
Absolutely. And that's a cross-generational show. Everybody can watch that. Cross-generational, cross-racial show. Amazing.
I'm rooting for everyone Black.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's all I got.
All right. Well, thank you guys for tuning in to another episode. We do appreciate y'all for rocking with us continually. We do apologize for any technical difficulties that we did have today. Please continue to just rock with us. And we're trying to get there. We're trying to get there. Alyssa has, you said what?
Said we're rocking with you because you're rocking with us.
That's right, Mark. And so, Fowler is still working for the CIA. And until she finishes that, then we'll be back in the same place at the same time. Y'all have an amazing week on purpose. Y'all remember to spread love.
Spread light.
And don't forget to laugh your face off. You're still delayed, but it's okay.
I'll go 1 second faster. Ready?
Yeah.
Okay, you start.
Spread love.
Spread light.
And don't forget to laugh your face off. You were still laughing at me, but it's okay.
God damn it!
It's okay. It's okay. Y'all have a great week, y'all.
Bye.
Thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of The Face Off with Fleming and Fowler. Don't forget to follow us on all our social media platforms, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at The Face Off Pod. Be sure to tune in to The Face Off every Tuesday where new episodes are released.